Hello there, Podcast Land. This episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast is sponsored by Podcast Texts. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable on Google, Yahoo, even Ask Jeeves? Then look no further than Podcast Texts. You can increase your podcast reach exponentially. You can also reach the deaf and hearing impaired. They can read your podcast. It's unbelievable the amount of ways Podcast Text can help you. Maybe you have a few links you'd like to include. Not a problem. You can include them thanks to Podcast Texts. Seem too good to be true? Visit PodcastTexts.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast, and here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
What's going on, Podcast Land? Welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast. My name is John O'Connor. Like always, I'm with Daniel Tao. And today marks episode number 82 of this thing we call the podcast. Today, we talk with New Jersey punk rock band Our Moms Drove Us Here. And what a conversation we had. So we talked with Liam and Paul of the band. And geez, the conversation kind of went everywhere. So if you love a smorgasbord of different topics, this one's for you. So I believe this might be the last one of 2016. And if it is, thank you guys so much for checking us out for the past year. Or if you're new to the show, thank you for coming along. I think 2017 is going to be even better than 2016. I mean, 2016 had a lot of highlights. You know, Dan interviewed one of his favorite drummers of all time, Chad Zaliga. We got to do interviews at Warped Tour, at Rock Allegiance in Philly, and it was just awesome. We had a lot of great acts come on the show, like Breaking Benjamin, Trivium, The Word Alive, Icy Stars, Vanna. It was a lot of fun. And I truly believe that 2017 might be the year that Behind the Barricade takes off. So we're going to introduce the Behind the Barricade Network, because I don't know what else you would call this. So we have three shows coming up. We have one called Down the Front, and those are two amazing, amazing music fans from overseas doing a great show that showcases British hard rock and metal and anything they want. It doesn't matter. So big props to them. We also have two other shows coming up. One's going to be about pop punk, and the other is going to be about production. Not too sure exactly what that entails, but I guess it'll be as much of a surprise as it is for you. So, awesome. Let's see what else. Yeah, I think that's about it. So, from our family to yours, have a Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, Happy whatever. Whatever you celebrate, even if you don't celebrate anything, have a great holiday season. Enjoy yourselves. Watch some basketball on Christmas Day or football. They're both on. You know, just spend time with your families because you never know when this is all going to end. So, better now than never, as I like to say. And, yeah, we'll see you in 2017, so have a happy new year while we're at it. I think that's about it. So, for the last time in 2016, here is episode number 82, featuring Our Moms Drove Us Here right now.
Wait. Yep.
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, awesome. All right, what's going on, guys?
Nothing much.
Jerking off in a basement.
Yep.
Oh, that just sounds hot.
So hot. No, we're freezing our butts off in my basement right now.
Nice. So who am I talking with? Is it Paul and Liam?
Yeah.
All right. What's going on, guys? This is John. So pleasure to somewhat meet you, even though me and Liam have been talking for quite a while now.
Ruining all of the good like stuff for the interview.
Yeah, really. So, you know, here, let's just post our conversation on Facebook Messenger, and that's the podcast. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Works for me. Like, well, don't you run an ad for, like, podcast, like, text-to-speech or whatever?
We do, yes.
There we go. Boom. That'll be your podcast.
Yeah, there we go. I'll just include a link to their stuff. The sponsors will be happy. Good enough.
Good enough, you know.
I mean, who listens to this shit anyway?
All media is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. So, where are you guys calling from?
We're calling from Rockaway, New Jersey.
Ah, Rockaway. All right. Yeah. I know that area a little bit. Basically, just backroom studios and that's it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. I live about 10 minutes from Boontoons. I know you did two episodes with Justin. I live right on the border of Rockaway and Boon.
Okay.
So I'm very close to Boontoons.
Actually, I had no idea those two bordered each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Fun fact.
It's basically like the Denville, Rockaway, like Dover, Booton area are like all the same town.
Yeah.
All right. Huh.
It's just different areas.
Gotcha. So basically it's like one, like a major suburb if you combined all four of them together, but like four of them on your own, it's like, okay, here's a little shitty towns.
Pretty much,
yeah.
Booton's my favorite out of all of them, though.
Booton's amazing.
Yeah, Booton's extremely nice, especially Justin's pad, where it's just, you know, he's in the middle of everything.
Oh, my God, I love Boontoons so much.
We were just there on Saturday.
Oh, nice. Did you play a show up there?
We did a secret, like, surprise set. I'll let Liam explain that, though.
It was for our friend's birthday party. We got together with one of our friends' bands, Call Out.
Okay, I've heard of them.
Yeah, and we put together this secret set that was like all covers. We did like Everywhere I Go by Hollywood Undead, The Quiet Things That No One Ever Knows by Brand New.
Yep.
It was like all over the place, like Mama by My Chemical Romance.
Coffee and Weed by Nightcrawlers. And
oh my God.
And Heathens by 21 Pilots. And then like an encore we did Killing the Name Of by Rage Against the Machine.
It's just Killing in the Name, Paul.
Boy. I'm sorry. I don't know the names of our songs.
He is correct. There is no of in that title.
I'm sorry.
I'm just as guilty of calling it Killing in the Name.
I'm pretty sure it says Killing the Name Of on our set lists, though. So like,
good.
How dare you?
I know. We don't write our set lists. Our other guitar player, John, does. So blame him.
Uh-huh. Passing the buck.
Yeah.
Come on, I've been in bands before. I know how to pass the buck.
Yeah.
We just blame it all on Paul now because Paul's not really like a full-time member of the band.
Yeah, so I go to school in Los Angeles. I go to the University of Southern California.
USC.
So, like,
go Trojans.
Yeah, fight on. I think it's hilarious because like, they're playing Penn State in the Rose Bowl on January 2nd. And my dad went to Penn State, so we have like a $100 bet on that game right now. It's going to be interesting. But yeah, I go to USC, so like, we started this band in high school, and then who the fuck is
calling? Oh my God!
Someone's calling the house phone right now. But
it's either that or you're about to do a Say Anything cover. I called her on the phone and she touched herself.
But yeah, so we started this band in high school, and then I decided to go to California for college, and then
let me guess, film.
What
film?
Music industry, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay. I was not expecting that one.
Nah. It was basically because I didn't get into NYU. That's why I'm there.
Okay.
Yeah. So I go there.
He doesn't get into NYU, gets into a college that's even more exclusive than NYU.
Yeah, go figure.
You know, as you know, shit happens. So then I was like, I'm going to go to USC. And then I had to go find another guitar player. And then we ended up with our boy John Jarema.
A boy named John.
Ha, so funny, Liam.
Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Another one of BTB's alums.
Oh, fun fact. That show on Saturday, a boy named John also played like a surprise set And they played. They were playing "Don't Kill the Messenger," and someone got RKO'd in the crowd, and it was amazing.
I read that. I think I don't know who
Chris
posted,
posted it.
Yeah, yeah, it was Chris. I thought it was Chris and Paul, but oh my god, what the? How? I mean, I know how, but why?
It was out of nowhere.
I know that.
No, but we're. It was our friend Brian. He's like kind of like an amateur wrestling fanatic.
Oh god.
Yeah. And he tackled what was it, Anthony from Call Out?
He tackled somebody.
I think it was Anthony from Call Out. But yeah, it was funny. And we thought Brian got a concussion.
That was Jesus.
That was interesting.
We go hard.
We go hard at Boon Tunes.
Oh my god. See, this is why the amateurs should just leave it for the professionals to do.
True.
I mean, to be fair, like, I'm just as bad when I'm performing. I put holes in the walls and put in the wall at Boon Tunes.
And I'm sure Justin really loves you for that one.
Nah, see, Justin and I are cool.
Yeah. I mean, we were the first band to smash a guitar at Boon Tunes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We were, like, not the right type of music for that at all, but fuck it, right?
All right, so it was August. It was my last show before I went to USC.
Uh-huh.
And we have the song Easy Core Workout, which is off of the EP Abiojo, which we put out October.
Wow. What great plug, Paul.
Thanks. But yeah, so the end of that song, there's like a breakdown bit.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the breakdown, Brian, who is the dude who RKO'd someone during A Boy Named John, he smashed that guitar for me.
Okay,
because you couldn't.
Because I'm a weak piece of shit, okay?
Okay, so Brian is the problem in the band. I got it.
He's not even in the band.
He's not in the band. He's just a friend.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He plays in a band called Pixel Face, though. They're like a video game theme song cover band. And
they're really cool. They're a lot of fun.
They're a lot of fun.
Huh. Wow. So yeah. Shit really goes down at one of your shows.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a lot of fun. We actually, we take a lot of pride in our stage show. Or at least I do. I push it a lot on the guys. Because that's something that is important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the music, you know, the music can be shitty, but if you're, like, looking like you're having fun, it's everybody's having fun.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do breakdown after breakdown after breakdown, and the whole crowd would be into it, while every musician's like, yeah, you know, I could do this, you know, closing my eyes while asleep, you know, standing in a corner, doing nothing, watching television. But as long as look like you're having a blast, then everyone else has a blast, so it's kind of odd.
Well, yeah. But, yeah, like, in all seriousness, though, that is something, I take a lot of pride in coming from like a theater background.
Mm-hmm.
Is putting on like a good stage show. One of our old slogans back before we got like kind of decent, I guess, was what we lack in talent, we make up for in stage presence.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good t-shirt.
We should put that on a t-shirt.
We should put that on a t-shirt. It's better than Omda Eats Ass in Japanese.
The fuck?
We're putting that in guitar picks now. That's going to be fun.
Oh, so you know how, like, in our conversation I was talking to you about Chance?
Yeah, yeah.
And how I was telling you that they're good at riling crowds up?
Uh-huh.
One of the chants we commonly use on stage is Omda Eats Ass.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, we're animals.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. So on that guitar that we smashed.
Yes, about that.
It was covered in tape, and on it wrote, it said Omda Eats Ass, and then that just turned to a monster.
Yeah, it all started as a joke from Pineapple Fest.
Yeah.
Because we wrote Omda Eats Ass on the back of a poster board that said Circle Pit for Harambe.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What Holy a throwback.
Crap. Yeah.
Who the hell cares about Harambe anymore?
I care about Harambe, Paul.
I think you and Tori Lava are the only two, because she always, like, blows up my Facebook wall with, yeah, dicks out for Harambe. I'm like, no, enough with that.
No, he died in May.
Well, see, what happened
it's December.
What happened, let's dissect that meme. So basically, he died in May, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he died in May, and then he, like, went for, like, a month, which is, like, average meme lifespan, okay? Mm,
yes.
But then the Cincinnati Zoo started begging everybody to stop doing the memes.
Oh, which
added to the lifespan.
Exactly.
It's like the same as the Arthur ones. The dude who made the show Arthur was like, stop with the Arthur memes.
But, oh, they're great.
I'm not done yet because there's more reason why it went even longer.
Oh, no.
The Cincinnati Zoo then decided to live stream the funeral of Harambe.
You've got to be shitting me.
I didn't even know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the Cincinnati Zoo live streamed Harambe's funeral.
Okay, they're asking for it now.
Exactly. So it was like, that's why that was like the meme of the summer. It probably will be like top meme 2K16.
Yo, I'm hoping We Are Number One just rides us into 2017.
You and me both.
That song's not on Spotify. That bums me out.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
I know.
My favorite is The Legend 27.
I don't even know that one.
Wow. Get with the times, old man.
Shit.
All right, so I have to ask you this. Did I read this correctly, or are you opening for Riff Raff at Stanhope House?
We are.
We are opening for Riff Raff at Stanhope House.
How, why, what the fuck? I have so many questions on that.
Basically, I'm just sitting there, and, like, I'd seen the show back when it was first announced. I'd seen the show, like, announced, and I was like, wouldn't it be fun to open for that? And literally 5 minutes later, after thinking that, Paul messages me. He's like,
"Oh yeah, no, Paul."
Paul here, Paul, not Paul saying Paul.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I'm like, "Yo, Liam, wouldn't it be hilarious if we open up for Riff Raff?" And then we message Tori.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, "Hey, can we open up for Riff Raff?" And she's like, "As long as you sell 30 tickets, you guys can open up for Riff Raff." So we're opening up for Riff Raff on January 26th at Stanhope.
Jesus Christ.
So, yeah.
I can only imagine what kind of show that's going to be. Not even on your end. I'm talking about, like, Riff Raff's end.
Oh, yeah.
We've
seen Riff Raff.
We've seen Riff Raff live before.
We saw him at Warped Tour 2K15.
Yeah.
It was a 30-minute set. He played, like, 3 songs.
It was great.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
If you had told me back then that 2 years later we'd be opening for Riff Raff, I would have laughed in your fucking face.
True.
Okay, now during that set, how many people screamed out Spring Break Forever?
I don't even remember.
We were over on the other side of
we were like, it was in the amphitheater, like the PNC amphitheater.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He was on one side, we were on the other side waiting for, fuck, it might have been like As It Is or some other pop rock band. That it was like the end of the day, and like there was like
nothing. I like was throwing up from sun poisoning and like,
yeah. Oh, so the full Warped Tour experience.
Oh yeah, like because it was my first Warped Tour. You always remember your first.
Yep.
And I had nothing to eat that day. Besides for like a sausage. A sausage and a bag of Doritos. And
You passed out during Have Mercy. Oh wait, you passed out during Citizen, and then you also passed out during Have Mercy.
Yeah, I slept through both of their sets.
Wow.
It was beautiful.
And then I threw up out the window of my grandpa's car.
In front of a vape shop.
But of course, yes. Of course, the amount of douchebaggery that happened in that moment through the roof.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it was like, it wasn't even like I'd been drinking at all. It was just...
You were just dehydrated. You had no water in you.
I was dehydrated and I had sunstroke.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
It was just... The second go around at Warped Tour went much better.
So this past year?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, this past year's Warped?
Yeah, I had more fun at this past year's Warped.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
I don't know, it felt smaller this year.
Well, because it was.
It was like, I don't know, like the crowd itself was like maybe like 2/3 the size that was the previous year.
I don't know about that. I mean, I saw a yellow card and I was way the fuck back for that.
Well,
you couldn't even get near that.
I had a good time because it's just, not to be like the kid who's like living in like the past that he didn't live in. But like, it just felt like there were more older bands, and I was happy about that because like I like older pop punk.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Yeah,
I'm not like a super big fan of new school pop punk unless it's like the Wonder Years or Knuckle Puck. Even Knuckle Puck, I'm not a big fan of anymore because like
douchebaggery.
Yeah.
What's up with Knuckle Puck?
All right.
They just, like, long story short, they take themselves too seriously.
Oh, is it the whole Jared Dines thing?
You did not just confuse my main man, Jared Alonji.
With Jared Dines.
They're two different people? What the fuck?
They're two different YouTubers, man.
Oh, God almighty. Have different names. It's hard enough to keep track of what a fucking PewDiePie is, let alone what Jared it is. Jesus Christ, dude. I'm 28. I don't need to learn this shit.
Listen, you can learn from us. We're both, like, respectively 19 and 18. Yes. We've got our fingers on the pulse of all the memery.
I don't. I feel like a grandpa compared to, like, Liam and some of our other friends.
I'm up to date. I make memes.
Well.
We are memes. Omda is a meme at this point.
See, I don't know how to feel about that, though.
But is it a hashtag?
What?
Is it a hashtag, though?
Is what
it? Omda Eats Ass is a hashtag.
Oh, Omda Eats Ass is a hashtag.
Okay.
Yeah.
And apparently that chant is broken out at, like, shows that we haven't even been at.
Oh, God.
I've had friends like not even friends. It was like real talk. It was this girl that I was like hitting on, and she like maybe not in the clearest of minds.
All right, you were intoxicated off of something. Go on.
Not that I'm admitting to that on the internet.
No, we're just painting a picture. That's all.
And so like I was hitting on this girl, and she was like, wait, are you the Omda Eats Ass guy?
Oh, no. You don't want to be known as that guy.
And I was like,
guy. All
right, well, it's just game over from here. I'm just going to have a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. That sounds like worse than being in the friend zone.
It is what it is.
Yeah. But then again, if you get famous off of this. But then again, you have local fame right now. So now, if you bring that to like a national level, put it this way. If they're chanting Omda Eats Ass louder than they're cheering for the IHOP ad at Starlands, you made it, my friend. You fucking made it.
Oh, shit.
God, that is one of my favorite things at Starlands.
It confuses so many people, and I laugh at the confusion. Because if you're
The New Jersey music scene has so many little quirks about it, and like, I do love it.
Yeah.
Despite how, like, going back to the conversation we were having earlier about how you think that it's on life support right now.
Yeah, I do think that, yes.
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment.
I mean, I don't, because even since we first started, like, I've seen such, like, a resurgence in things. And, like, that's only been, like, 2 years.
Here's my problem with it, though, is that almost all the people coming to see your band are parts of other bands.
Yeah. That's a big one.
There's no, like, genuine fans who are there just for the music. It's like they're all there. There's, like, almost you're trying to get something out of it, in a sense.
Teen Girl Squad.
Teen Girl Squad, though, are four of our best supporters.
Yeah. Teen Girl Squad comes to, like, every show.
Well, there you go. Now you just need to grow that from 4 to 400.
You're funny.
We only have 400 likes on Facebook.
Actually, we have 347, so let's not...
We're at 347? We were at 345 this morning.
Oh, there you go. You're welcome.
Oh, shit.
See, not that I pay attention.
See, people knew you were on the show, and they're like, all right, the two people that listen, we're going to go and give you a like.
Instant fame.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a weird whirlwind ride for our Facebook. We went from 800 likes to... I think we were closing in on 2,500 in a matter of, like, 2 weeks.
Good for you guys.
I know. I got like a friend request from, I forget the name of the account. It might have been like Jimmy Mitchell or something.
Shit, you're at 347.
And I'm just like, it said Behind the Barricade. And I'm like, all right, I heard that podcast. And then I like click add friend. And then you've been invited to like Behind the Barricade on Facebook.
See, whenever like I friend someone, I wait a couple weeks before I ask them to like my page.
No.
Because I always feel... I feel skeezy doing it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Well, the funniest part about that whole thing is they're all fake.
What? Your guys' Facebook page?
Well.
Those accounts are fake.
Those accounts are fake.
Hmm.
Exclusive. Those accounts are fake. So basically, those accounts are basically myself or Dan doing it, but it brings in so many goddamn likes, it's not even funny.
Wait, what?
Wait, so were those just names you made up?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
You killed Lamb.
So right now we have a Chad D'Angelo that's scouring the internet, and we also have a Mike Tanner that's scouring the internet.
I'm trying to figure out which one of you got, which one added me.
I don't know. Yeah, we also have a Bill.
Yeah. Got deleted, and then Billy Stein, who I think I'm still friends with.
That's Stan.
Billy Stein added me.
That's Stan.
Okay.
Yeah.
But why couldn't Dan be here tonight? I'm bummed.
He had some doctor's appointment. I think he's having some sleep difficulties, so I think he's going for, like, sleep studies or some shit.
I hope he's okay then. I won't give him a hard time.
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely give him a hard time. He just can't sleep.
I feel.
He's a tuckered-out boy in the morning.
I'm still on, like, L.A. time, even though it's been a week since I got back. So I've been going to bed at 6 in the morning, because I normally go to bed at 3 in the morning in L.A.
Oh, Jesus.
So, like, it's been rough.
I swear to God, if you die while we're out delivering tickets tomorrow.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be fun.
Oh Jesus Christ. Yeah, sleep deprived selling tickets, always fun.
Yeah, we have to do deliveries for the patent pending show at the Sherman Theater. Ooh. Which is the same day that this podcast goes live, I think. So
according to
Friday?
You.
yeah
I wrote that post and I believe I said Friday.
Yeah,
okay, so Friday, so today. Yeah, so basically should... Yes, hello.
Yeah, so the show is on Friday, and we're one of the local bands opening up for patent pending. We have to, like, deliver. We have to sell 50 tickets, I think.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we actually hit that.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hit it. That's why, like, part of my, like, was, like, part of me when you said that the music scene is, like, on, like, life support. I'm, like.
We did sell 50 pre-sale.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's, I don't, it's, like, that's why I think it's coming back.
It might be, but I'm talking from a time, like I also said, like I grew up with the local scene back in the early 2000s, where you had basically 400 people at like every show just listening to local bands. Like it's nothing, you know?
I wish it was that way now.
Yeah, so like if, let's say, one of your friends was opening up for whoever at Starland, they could easily drop the, you know, it was like 200 tickets at the time. It was nothing. So... That's why I'm like...
Yeah, now it's just, like, ridiculous.
It's, like, 100, and then you're struggling to get 100 people.
Yeah. And so,
I mean, if the band is big enough, like, say, like, for some inexplicit reason, we were asked to open for, like, the Wonder Years.
Yeah.
I have no doubt we'd have any issues moving, like, 200 pre-sale for that.
Because they sell out that venue without any locals anyway.
Yeah, very true.
And there'd just be a need for, like, tickets... at like a cheaper price anyway. So like
exactly, instead of like 23 plus surcharges, you sell them for 20.
Exactly.
Yes. But yeah, the problem, but not it's not really a problem, but I understand where they're coming from. You know, they're not going to just throw you on a Wonder Years show. They're going to make you play like a Head P or Powerman 5000 or like some other act that like no one's heard of within the last like 10 years and expect you to drop like 100 tickets for that.
Exactly, and that's not, I mean, I understand where they're coming from, especially with, like, how the, like, the state of the music scene is,
mm-hmm.
but it's not necessarily fair to be asking, like, asking for that amount of tickets, like.
True.
I don't really know what we're supposed to do to go about and, like, fixing that problem, but asking, like, the young, like, early 20s, like, late teens, kids to like sell like 200 tickets for like for a band that no one's ever heard of is not the way to go about fixing the local music scene.
No, not at all.
And the fact that they have to cough if they don't sell 200, that they have to cough up their own money in order to play the show.
Yeah,
because we've done that so many times.
Even for like shows where like we have to sell 20 tickets, it's been difficult until very recently.
Yeah. I mean, at least like a venue like Stanhope House, where I played there a few times with my band, like there was some times where we didn't hit the ticket minimum and, you know, we would just have to go on first in front of fucking nobody. But, you know, it's better than just being like, oh, yeah, we're 5 tickets short. You know, if you want to play, it's an extra $100. It's like,
yeah,
no,
exactly.
Fuck that.
And like a lot of people have issues with Stanhope House. And like I've never really seen the big issue with them. Like I understand where they're coming from. They're a bar. They need to make money somehow. Like, it'd be nice if they had a little bit more of a built-in audience, but like that's just not the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I really can't blame them for that.
We've played a show there over a year ago where the touring, there was two touring bands and they drew zero people.
We drew two people and we brought in more people than the touring band.
Oh my God. Yeah. What band was it?
It was,
I'm
pretty sure they've broken up. So like, I think we can,
but like they're on the local, yeah. They're more on the local scale. So I would just prefer
not to name drop, but if you scour through our Facebook page, you can find it.
Well, all right. Well, here, I'll ask this question. Should they have been headlining?
In their area, maybe.
Okay, but not in Stanhope.
Yeah, no, because they were like,
gotcha.
They're halfway across the United States.
Yeah, it was a band from Texas and one from Michigan headlining a 300 cap room in, you know, northern New Jersey. The other problem was there was two New Jersey dates on that.
Yeah, and they played
Game Changer.
They played Game Changer like 2 days later, and apparently they pulled like a ton of people.
Eek.
Yeah. Also, it was a Monday night, and there were two local bands playing. One of them was us. The other was like some female acoustic singer-songwriter girl.
Was it Foxanne?
I forget her name. It started with a J.
She played the Killers though, so I couldn't complain.
Huh.
But the lead singer of one of the bands made a Facebook status about it. It was like, if you're going to open up for a big band, make sure your guitar's in fucking tune. And that just set me off so much.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah, we don't... It's like, we're not trying to cause drama with anybody, but, like, I don't have fond feelings for that show or those people.
Well, then fucking then call them out, man. Call them out. Fucking put them on blast.
I mean, yeah, my dude. We're starting band beef with Behind the Barricade, not other bands.
Yeah.
We've been through this. We've got a plan. We have a game plan. We have a business plan.
Well, now that you admitted it, that goes all out the window.
Now they're going to even, there's going to be, like, there's intrigue. There's drama. It's like how PewDiePie said he was going to delete his channel at like 50 million subscribers, but then he deleted his other channel.
Well, come on, who the fuck didn't see that coming?
Honestly, you're right.
Yeah. True.
Not all the news outlets.
Well, no shit, they'll report anything.
Clickbait. Oh my God, all the fucking clickbait articles on like the internet just piss me off.
Yo, fuck clickbait.
Fuck BuzzFeed.
I hate clickbait.
Except for the dog a day. Those things are awesome.
True.
Yeah. There's an email service where every day they send you a picture of a dog.
Oh, that's pretty fantastic.
It is awesome. I highly recommend that.
Are they like cute dogs?
Yes. Most of them are fluffy ones. I love the little fluffy ones. But then you have like... Exactly. And then you have some okay ones. Now they're starting to do like adoption dogs, which is pretty good. But honestly, I don't really want to see those. I'm not going to lie to you.
Like the ones with like only three legs.
Yeah, something like that. It's like, you know, it's more sad than anything. But like, I understand, you know, they're coming from a great place doing it. But you know, if you're going to do that, have a separate account for, you know, Fluffy Dog a Day, and I would sign up like five different email addresses for that.
True.
Send a very strongly worded email to them.
I was thinking about it, a little passive aggressiveness, and my girlfriend's like, "Are you serious?" I was like, "Yes. Why aren't you as serious as I am?"
Does she not understand the importance of Fluffy Dog a Day?
Oh, she loves it. She's the one who signed me up for it.
Ooh.
Ooh, sounds like a keeper.
Oh, she definitely is. We're entering our... Oh, shit. What year is it? Going into 2017. We're entering our ninth year together. Holy shit.
Oh, wow. Good for you guys.
Yeah. It's been a journey.
I can't even hold a girl down for like 11 months.
I think about to say 9 minutes, I would have laughed.
I mean, honestly, kind of accurate with the way things have been going.
It is also tough because, like, even if you're in a local band or a national band, like, if you're in a band and you're an artist, there's a certain stigma to it.
Well, I'm just gonna lay out some band beef right now between OMDA band beef.
Uh-oh.
Everybody in OMDA gets bitches except for me, the singer of the band. What the fuck is this shit, man? Like...
I don't know.
It's upsetting.
Yo, all the girls listening, add Liam on Facebook and just like send him a DM.
Send me the DMs. I don't care what you look like. I'm lonely.
He just needs a hug.
Oh, God.
instead of plugging our band, we're plugging me. Oh, wait, no.
Yeah, just don't go on Facebook.com/OMDUH. Don't go there.
Don't go there. Just add Liam on Facebook.
Yeah, don't worry. In about 3 weeks, he'll send you an invite to, like, the page. Don't worry about it.
Well, because I get really, like, I get anxiety over it. I'm like, I don't want to, like, come off too strong. It's like, get, this all circles back because, like, I don't want to come off, like, too strong. Uh-huh. Because, like, I've been told I have a very big personality.
Wink, wink, or?
Wink, wink.
No, no. There's nothing going on down there. But, like, yeah. So, like, I've been told I have a very big personality and that I come on really strong because I'm loud and I like to talk. And, like, I'm super friendly. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And, like.
In that little Bon Scott type of voice?
Yeah, exactly. No, that's because we practice, like, every other day, and we just started doing screaming in the band.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's always fun.
They wrote a song without me that we're premiering at the Patent Pending show, and it's, like, the heaviest fucking shit ever, and there's, like, 2 minutes of Liam just screaming into the microphone, and I can tell it's taking a toll on his voice.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like the raspiness it brings on. I feel like it adds a different layer to the Liam story.
Okay. Yeah, I mean...
Okay.
Yeah, okay. No, what I was going to say, like, I've been screaming in and out of bands for the last... Shit, how old am I? 28. So the last, like, maybe 10, 15 years. And it still hasn't taken a toll on my voice. But I found the secret to it is the moment you stop doing it will be the moment where you can't do it anymore.
Mm.
So that's a little tip because like I've gotten like maybe like a month without screaming and like the power is gone, the actual like balls of it is gone. Like there's really nothing to it. It's just like a little weak. Ah! But like,
well, yeah,
like,
now that I've been doing it like consistently.
Yeah.
It's got like, it's like all things you need to practice in order to get better at stuff.
Yeah. It's a hard thing to actually learn. Like you can't really teach how to scream. Like, people have tried, and I saw, like, how they're teaching it, and it's kind of weird. It's like, yeah, you have to start from your diaphragm. It's like, no, there's different types of screams. Like, if you want to do a high scream, it's all from your throat. But if you want to get to that little, like, deathcore, then you have to go from, like, your diaphragm. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're like, I do from the throat. I do the high.
Yeah.
I was playing around with doing something like the, like last night, mm-hmm. and like it just didn't work.
Yeah.
Well, you just have to develop it. That's all.
Well, yeah. I mean, like it's going to be something that's kept in practice for right now.
Okay. Yeah.
What happens in practice stays in practice. Am I right, Paul?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Jesus Christ. So you guys put out a EP, 5-song EP, and what the hell was the name of that again?
Abiocho.
Abiocho, which is like stuffed after you're eating, right?
It's like it's the drowsy feeling you get after eating a big meal.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. All right. So like the
Hey, everyone has their crutch words, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so the we couldn't decide on an EP title for like we were like this thing about for like 3 months. And
I
like,
still don't like the EP title.
Well, yeah, we've grown discontent with it, but we were like, let's just find a word that doesn't translate into English, and then people have to keep asking us about it. And like the first word that came up was abiocho because it's like, you know, A in the alphabet, and it's like abiocho, Italian for the big that feeling you get after you eat a lot of food, and we're like, perfect. Yeah.
Hey, if it works, fuck it. But, yeah, like, it some of your titles are just hysterical. Back pain at 18, Easy Core Workout, April 22nd. I don't know what the hell happened.
22!
It's 22!
Fine, fuck.
Yeah.
Is that a Sublime song? Or is that... Oh, that's April 29th, I think.
No, there is a Sublime song called April 22, too.
2-2.
Or, no, well, or April 22nd or something like that.
1992, there was a riot on the streets. Tell me, where were you? That one?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So apparently there was a riot on the streets.
Now tell me, where were you?
I was in my bedroom crying because my girlfriend broke up with me.
And you say you can't get any women. You already had a girlfriend that broke up with you.
That was 2 years ago.
When Liam was a small.
When I was small and apparently a lot hotter.
Oh, wait a second. You were hotter back then?
Apparently. Apparently I aged down.
Huh.
I also, like, just shaved my beard, and believe me, that was a big mistake.
Oh, no. You can't do the shaved beard during, like, summer. During winter, rather.
Yeah, yeah.
Summer, yes. Winter, no.
Well, it's like you ever shave and then you realize, like, oh, my God, I don't have a good-looking face. And then you're like, the top half is okay, but, like, what the beard was covering, it should keep covering that.
So you couldn't do, like, a, what was it, a goatee?
I can pull off a goatee, but, like, clean-shaven, like, mm-mm. It's bad news bears.
So it's like when Seth Rogen clean-shaved and you're like, oh, I can't really look at this guy anymore. It's odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it's like kind of like how, if you know what he looks like, Charlie Sheen from Hollywood Undead looks like.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's just got, like, the double chin. He's, like, singing about fucking bitches, and it's like, how? How, Charlie Sheen?
Well, you know what? That's the whole hip-hop culture. I mean, like, half of these, like, hip-hop videos that you see were all rented out. They're not their cars. They're not their houses. They're not even the women. You know, they're not even the money that they're throwing. It's all someone else's, which is hysterical to me.
Yeah. We actually, I had a class last year with probably my favorite class I've ever taken with one of my favorite teachers ever called Popular Music, and we would talk about all that stuff. We talked about how, like, the Wu-Tang videos, they would just, like, show up in, like, their street clothes. Like, all the money would be, like, printed out and stuff like that. It'd be, like, cheap stuff.
Yeah. I mean, they were pretty broke. Like, they were from Staten Island, from, like, the, like, terrible section over there. And, you know, how they built themselves as a rap group. Like, there was, what, like, 8 or 9 of them? I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's only so much money that they're getting back from the music, and then they have to split it 8 or 9 ways.
Well, now they're doing fine.
Well, yeah, now they're, like...
Well, yeah, but it took them, like, 25-something years.
Yeah.
And then they sold an album to that scumbag Martin Shkreli.
Yeah, which...
Actually, his story is a lot more in the gray area than you might think. I'm not saying that he's a good guy, but, like, there's more gray area to it.
All
right. I do have to agree with that from what I've been reading. I think his main focus was to screw over, like, the insurance companies instead of, like, the consumer when he jacked up the prices.
He was saying something along the lines of, it was a while ago when I, like, really did research into it, but he was saying something along the lines of, like, you can still get it for cheap. Like, it's not a drug that's used a lot. Like, most hospitals have it. If they really need it, they can reach out to me and I'll just give it to them. It's just to get money so I can put more money into researching other things.
Yeah. But he chose, like, the worst drug to do it. It was, like, I forgot.
The AIDS drug.
Yeah, the AIDS drug. It was, like, exactly. Xyrofam or something like that. I forgot what it was. But
I'm not even entirely sure. But, like, there is more gray area to it, just like there is with most things in life.
Yeah, exactly. And most things you read on the internet, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you heard the story about how Jeff Rickley went to him for money and to open up his, I think it was a management company, turned into a record label, I think.
Oh, yeah. I heard about this. And then it was like, it turns out that Martin Shkreli was, like, the one fun to get. And then all the artists on the label, like, dropped off. They're like, we don't want to be associated with him.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's what screwed over Jeff.
I feel bad for Jeff, not going to lie.
He's had a rough go.
I mean, Thursday did just, like, reunite, so I feel like that's also semi a cash grab as well.
I honestly have no idea who any of these people are.
You Jeff don't know who Thursday is?
I'm sorry, no, I don't.
You're from New Jersey. You're a New Jersey band. You have no idea who Thursday is.
I'm not from New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're from Colorado.
Liam was born in Colorado.
Yep,
yes.
I knew that.
Wait, okay. Did I tell you that?
No, that was called Facebook stalking.
Oh, you did your research.
Yes. That I did, yes.
Then again, it wouldn't be that hard to figure out I'm from Colorado because I'm very proud of that fact.
You have the Rockies tattooed on your arm. I mean, like...
I have the Rockies tattooed on my arm. I'm wearing a Colorado Rockies hat today with, like, the state nickname embroidered in the back.
Which is?
The Centennial State.
Do I know the story of why it's the Centennial State? No, I've been meaning to look it up. But that's neither here nor there.
It's everywhere. Huh. That's interesting. I would have automatically thought it was like the Rocky Mountain State.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, I imagine it has something to do with it entering the Union around like the
1876.
They're like,
yeah, something.
Something like that.
Hmm. Some political thing.
Politics.
Politics.
So how about that Donald Trump?
Well, he officially got elected in by the Electoral College. Look,
plus we'll have the wrath of your dad coming down on us if he hears us.
If we hear Trump is a son, and then my dad would just storm down the stairs like, what are you talking about on this fucking podcast, son?
So is he a supporter or no?
What?
Is he a supporter or no? I couldn't really tell.
He was reluctantly supporting him, but he's a very hardcore Republican.
Well, didn't he, like, support Bernie over Hillary or
he
something?
He said if it was Bernie Trump, he would vote for Bernie to keep Trump out of the White House.
Okay, that makes sense. I could see that.
But, like, that whole election cycle was really fucked.
Yeah, absolutely. From, you know, basically the emails are what killed everything.
It's... My favorite was when Stephen Colbert found out he'd been mentioned in one of the emails. Because, like, he had, like, it was, they were talking about Joe Biden going on to the what does he have, the nightly show, the late show?
The late show, yeah.
Yeah, they were talking about Joe Biden going on to the late show. And apparently Hillary Clinton said something along the lines of, like, that idiot Stephen Colbert is having Joe Biden on his show to announce that he's running for president.
Oh, God.
And, like, Stephen Colbert was like, we got mentioned! We got mentioned! It was fun.
My favorite, though, was the how Tom DeLong was emailing Hillary
yes, about
like,
the aliens.
Chief of staff about, like, aliens and shit.
But did you expect anything other than that?
True.
Tom DeLong is fucking off his rocker.
Yes.
I mean, I love him. I have his signature guitar, but, like... He's crazy.
Oh, he definitely is. But he also kind of ruined Blink-182 in the later years.
True. But hey, did you like that new Plus 44 album? Because I loved it.
Plus 44 with Matt Skiba?
Exactly. That's the new Blink-182 album is just a Plus 44 album with a higher profile lineup.
True.
Yeah, that's basically it, yeah.
All it is.
Yeah, I saw him this summer, and I had really mixed thoughts. Like, on the tracks that Skiba did with him, sounded great. When he tried to mimic Tom, it sounded great. When he tried to do Matt Skiba off of Tom DeLonge's vocals, it didn't sound so great.
Mm. I can only imagine. I'm sure Day to Remember was fun, though.
Oh my god, they were phenomenal, yeah.
Exactly, they stole the show, probably.
Oh, yeah, easily.
And, like... We live by that mantra a lot because we get put early, in lineups in the like show lineups. Still, we live by the mantra of make them regret putting us first.
That's a great mantra. Yeah,
we work very hard.
Yeah,
it gets frustrating sometimes.
Well, yeah, there's nothing more frustrating than like you're doing everything right and just things just don't happen.
Well, it's you know I'm a no good millennial, so like. Everything has to go my way, like, first try.
Oh, yeah. Why aren't you crying and screaming about it? What the hell's the matter with you?
Exactly. And, like, I obviously don't like talking to people, so.
Yet you're on a podcast where all we're doing is talking.
Exactly. I hate that stereotype about millennials, that millennials don't like to talk to people. That's just people in general. There's always going to be people who don't like talking to each other. And, like... It just bothers me that that's, like, one of the stereotypes that sticks with millennials.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I'm, you know, I just turned 28, and I hate talking with people. Like, and I host
the
goddamn
the
podcast.
One who
yeah,
who does interviews for a podcast hates talking to people.
Yeah, but there's something about talking with musicians, like, something I connect with. Like, if I'm stuck, you know, my other job, I work at a law school. So if I'm stuck with a bunch of lawyers, I'm sitting there going... All right, what the hell am I going to talk about? So I do a podcast. Hi. Yeah, that's it.
You should start doing, like, behind the bar. It's like just podcasts with lawyers.
The entire show would just be me holding up like death metal logos. Name the guess the name of this band. Go.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, that would be.
sometimes our ideas stick. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, ideas are just completely far out there, which you would hope would work, but it's just not going to happen. Like, for example, we had something we started, I want to say, back when we started last November, not a month ago, but a year ago, where we're doing something called Seen and Heard. Like, Seen actually spelled S-C-E-N-E, where we were going to do something where we were going to interview bands at, like, Boon Tunes or something like that, have them play like two songs and then do like a little like gear thing, like talk to them about like their gear, like a little behind the scenes type of deal, like, you know, VH1 Storytellers, but with like Seen bands. But, you know, as it sounds like a great idea, but it's just hard as hell to pull off.
Oh, I can only imagine.
I mean,
well, like,
I would love to talk about gear on a podcast or like a video or something, because I'm a gear nerd.
You're a gear whore.
I just bought a Kemper profiling amp, and like, oh my god, boy named John is so salty about it.
I have no idea what the hell you just said.
It's like, alright, so it's like some fancy amplifier that like takes like models of, you know, like nicer guitar amps, and a boy named John used it to record their full length, So We Live, So We Die.
Yeah.
And like, and now I bought one, and now they're just super, like, just salty, and, like, they're like, fuck you. You don't, like, why are you flaunting this?
No, you make a boy named John sound like they're actually upset about it.
I mean, they're not upset about it.
We should clarify that a boy named John is our friend. I was hanging out with Chris, like, literally 2 hours before this podcast.
I love Chris.
Yeah, he was great. We had him on sometime last year, I think. I don't even remember. Everything is, like, blurring together. But
that's actually, Chris is how I found out about Behind the Barricade.
Sam.
Really? Shit.
Yeah. Because back then I was a fan of a boy named John, and I was trying to figure out how to get in with them.
Into the bands or to
no,
be friends?
Like just like friends.
Oh, okay.
Back then. And now look at, but like,
back I was then, like, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot, hoes all on me. That's Mr. Mike Jones right there. Look it up. 281-330-8004. Hit Mike Jones up on the low. Dude, that whole album was huge for like a day. And you guys have no idea who the hell Mike Jones is.
Exactly.
We're trying really hard to be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, man.
Just Google who is Mike Jones, and that'll be the first thing that pops up.
Well, no.
I mean, it's throwing me off because Mike Jones was one of my manager at Five Guys.
Oh, it wasn't him. I can guarantee you that.
You sure about that, though?
Yes, yes. I mean, now he might be working at Five Guys, but back then, no.
Oh, shit. I still don't know who this is.
Just go. He had, like, one album that, like, everyone loved, and, like, the hook of the song was, back then, hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot, hoes all on me.
I hope that's my mom. I hope I can say that one day.
See, that's when you have to do like a show with an older band, so you have like an older audience, and you say those lines, and people are just will go nuts. It's, I can't even compare it to something nowadays. Where
do you think if we drop that at our patent pending show, that'll work?
Joe will definitely love you for that. I think he was a Mike Jones fan.
I mean, Joe is like one of the craziest dudes I've ever met, and I love him to death.
Oh my god, I have a ton of weird stories featuring Joe.
He was, Patent Pending was actually the first band that I saw that introduced me into the local scene like 4 years ago. So like I was a big fan of Patent Pending, and they were playing Stanhope House, and I saw Devin Goods opened for them. Automatic 253, I think is their name.
Yep, I know Automatic.
And then shit, what was Henry's old band?
Survey Says.
Oh shit, I remember them. Yeah.
Yeah, and like so I saw all of them, and that was like my introduction to like what the local music scene was. And like I've been obsessed with it ever since.
Yeah.
Jeez. Wow.
And actually, it's funny how like
people keep coming back and being connected to us somehow. Like Alex Grippo, the bass player in Frank Iero and the Celebration, mm-hmm. or in the Patience. You know, it's like the same band, but different name.
Yeah.
He went to our high school.
Yeah. Jeez. Wow.
And like, I met him the other night at Boom Tunes. It was very obviously freaking out and trying to hide it because I was very excited to meet him.
Oh, you're fanboying?
No, I was hardcore, like straight up fanboying so hard. And like, he was just talking. He was like, yeah, I used to like play around in Siri all the time. I went to school at Knowles. And I was like, you went to school at Knowles? He's like, why? Did you go there? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, holy shit. Like,
and then you broke down, you shotgun a couple beers. You're listening to Florida Georgia Line thinking you were Southern.
Well, fun fact, my mom lives in South Carolina and I do go there quite often.
Close enough.
So I'm basically Southern.
I think you're more Southern than Luke Bryan. I think he's from like Virginia.
Or like there, who's that?
Keith Urban.
Keith Urban's from Australia.
Well, he's really Southern.
Ooh, no. True. I mean, down under, I guess.
Yeah, see? Think about it.
Oh, he got us. Yeah, he got him.
He's the most Southern country artist out there.
Unless there's like some like dude working in the Antarctic, like making some country music while he's like seeing penguins and shit.
Well, you know, the Antarctic is technically considered a desert due to its low levels of precipitation.
Liam, I'm going to punch you in the face right now. Shut up.
So you could have a party there and you could call it a party in the desert.
Which is also the first track off of your latest EP, and I'm not even going to pronounce this because I still don't know how to say it.
Oh, Abiocho. Wow, no Abiocho.
Way. Oh, my God. It's like we're tying everything back together or something.
Yeah, we're in a band.
Are you? Why else am I talking with you?
I mean, I like to think I'm pretty entertaining.
You're very entertaining. This is hysterical.
Yes.
I don't think I've laughed this hard on a podcast before, and you're episode number 82?
Wait, really? Like, actually?
Yeah, I don't remember laughing this hard.
Dude, Paul, high five.
Yeah. I don't know. I died laughing listening to the one you did with Jimmy.
The one with Jimmy was great.
From Chasing Down Sunset, because we're good friends with them.
We've been
for well over a year now at this point.
God.
They played our first show at the Meat Locker with us.
Oh, fuck that venue.
Before Jimmy
whoa,
was
whoa,
even...
Wait, hold up. What?
I got beef with that venue. Fuck that venue.
Wait, you got beef? Wait,
I want to play there once. Shut up.
I still love the Meat Locker. I want your beef.
Ugh. I've told you before.
Is it the staircase? Because I understand the staircase.
The staircase is a mess.
The staircase, the dripping of random water coming from the ceilings, the weird moldy smell in that place. And you're like, it's a DIY venue. No, it's a fucking fire hazard. Fucking shape up. Here, ship out.
See, I can't figure out if he's talking about the Meat Locker or my bedroom.
Meat Locker, I haven't been in your bedroom yet. Yet.
Yet.
Yet.
Okay.
Okay.
No, I mean, I personally like the Meat Locker. You're allowed to have your opinions that are wrong. The thing about it is, like, this is another, like, me living in the past that I never actually lived in. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what CBGBs would have felt like.
Not at all.
What?
CBGBs was more like Dingbats.
Really?
It was like a professional grunge.
All right, fine. But, like, the stories are that there was just, like, dog shit, like, everywhere, and, like, one bathroom. Like,
does Dingbats even have a bathroom?
Yes. No. Yes, no, don't go there.
No, here's the thing. Dingbats doesn't keep toilet paper in their stalls, so people can't poop there. They make them go across the street to the Lone Star or whatever the other bar is across
Dingos,
the street.
Dingoes, I think,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God.
And I was sitting there, and I was like, that is my favorite thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, there's actually two bathrooms. There's one backstage for bands, which is like these...
We've used that bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
It's terrible. But the worst is the one that's accessible for a general public. Oh, my God. Not good.
Is it really that bad?
It's terrible.
All right. Dingbats, get on your bathroom game.
I haven't been there in over a year. Like, that was when we opened up for a Bad Case.
Yeah, we stickered up that place.
We just put, like, we just got our, like, our Mom's Drove here stickers, and we just, like, put, like, 50 of them everywhere.
And we got about 20 shows from putting stickers in Dingbats.
Damn, nice.
Like, you don't know, like, the sticker placement is like the key to success in the New Jersey scene.
Oh, absolutely. You know where the number one sticker placement is?
Where?
Urinal.
Yeah.
I would say the Boon Tunes toilet's a pretty good one.
Then call out covered arse.
Start call out beef.
Sticker beef.
Ooh.
We need to go put another sticker on top of their sticker that they put on top of our sticker.
Or you could up the ante and find you know, their tour van or wherever they ship the stuff to, and just put a sticker right on their bumper.
I mean, I basically, like, live in their drummer's basement, so it wouldn't be that hard.
No. It'd be hysterical.
What's funny is, it's funny how, like, close, like, we are to, like, a bunch of people, like, up in the North Jersey scene. Like, I live, like, 10 minutes away from, like, Chris from A Boy Named John's house.
Okay, gotcha.
Sorry, that was random. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know where you were going with that one. I'm like, okay, and next.
I had somewhere I was going there with that, but I have ADD.
Don't we all?
Yeah, we all do. Like, if you're a musician and can concentrate, there's something wrong with you.
I can tie it together. We are all in close proximity with each other, so we wind up playing with each other a lot. We're all friends. There we go. That's why I live in the drummer's bit. There.
Something.
Yes, we got
it. End the podcast now.
Okay, bye.
I'll be rambling for another 20 years while trying to recover.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you're not even close to the record, and I'm trying to think who has the record. I mean, Justin from Boon Tunes, we had to do two episodes for, which was
just
nuts.
Because he talks so much.
Oh my god, he just wouldn't shut the fuck up.
I love Justin so much.
I've known him for quite a while, and it's funny seeing, like, the evolution of Justin, like, coming from, you know, Hot Pink Apocalypse, actually gaining some steam, and then, you know, Jimmy James left to form Stereo Joe, and then he was like basically part time with that. Then he opens up Boon Tunes, and, you know, he's basically Mr. Boon Tunes.
Well, like, in all honesty, half the success of OMDA we can, like, really credit to, like, Justin DiRico and, like, Boon Tunes and, like, just having an open space for us to play in.
He is a saint, okay? So for this show that we did, like, the secret set for on Saturday, he bought 10 pounds of chicken nuggets and, like, served them to us, and it was amazing.
What?
Yeah.
So, like, what's funny about Justin DiRico is he puts on this, like, whole facade of, like, being a dickhole and, like, everything.
Does
like,
he?
He's like, oh, yeah.
I've he's never like, once seen that.
What?
I said I've never once seen him do that.
Oh, I mean, then maybe it's just with me. Maybe he just doesn't actually like me.
No, yeah, could be that.
Maybe.
But, like, he's, like, a total sweetheart.
Yeah, once you get to know him.
Him and Tabitha are, like, my favorite people.
Which one is Tabitha? I don't think I've ever met
her. Do you not know Tabitha?
I don't think so, no.
Tabitha's his girlfriend. She's, like, the best.
Oh, shit. It's been a while. I think the last time I actually talked with him, like, that at that podcast, I think he was single, maybe. Or if he wasn't, I'm sorry, Tabitha. But
I know they've been dating, I think, somewhere around 8 months.
Okay, so, all right. So, I think... Yeah, it was about a year ago when we did this podcast. Like,
all right, so you're in the clear. Tabitha doesn't have to come kill you.
Yes, yes. Because I think the first one we did was with When Thieves Are About, another great New Jersey local band. And that was, I want to say, in January. It was like a huge snowstorm, and we did it at Alfredo's house. And it was just a pain in the ass to get to. I literally had to park, I'd say, a mile away and walk with all of our gear to get to his place because there was no street parking.
Wait, was it the huge snowstorm of last year?
The one that was like 2.5 feet of snow?
I think it might have been the aftermath of that. So, like, when everything was basically somewhat clear, like maybe like a week or two after it. But it was still annoying to park there.
What's funny about that, and we're going to give you like a little bit of a behind the scenes of OMDA writing.
Ooh.
We actually, the Friday night that snowstorm happened, we played a show at Stanhope House opening for Calm the Desert, which is like a fantastic, like, hardcore North Jersey band.
Yep.
The bassist of that band is actually the person who ran the cafeteria at Morris Knowles, where I went to high school. Coolest dude. Really cool dude. Mike's a really cool dude.
Yeah.
But so we played that show,
And then we all went back to Paul's house because our EP release show for our first EP, Constant Winter, was the next day at Boon Tunes. So we were just going to sleep over at Paul's, hang out for the day, then go to Boon Tunes.
Yep.
Thing is, though, we got snowed into Paul's house for 3 days.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
With the entire band minus our drummer because he didn't want to sleep over.
A smart move.
We had a great time. So anyway, at this about a week before, I had like actually thrown out my back at like the age of 18, and we were all like making fun.
I've seen where this is going.
Exactly. We were all making fun of me for being like a teenager who threw out his back and had like 80 pounds of Icy Hot in his car at all times. And so we wrote the song back then at 18, which actually might be my favorite like lyrically written song that I've written.
We did that one together, though.
Yeah, I wrote like the skeleton of that, and then you really put it together.
Yeah.
Like the chorus of.
Chorus. I wrote the first verse. You wrote everything else.
Yeah. You wrote the first verse, and the chorus and bridge were mine.
Yeah.
But like, we sat like in the basement because we got bored. We watched like 800 movies. We made like, we made this Instagram movie called Cabin Fever that was like 20 parts long, and it was just awful.
Just like the regular movie.
You can scour Liam's Instagram for that. But yeah, basically.
Oh no, I slept for 20 years.
But yeah, we wrote Back Pain 18 in my basement when we were stuck in that snowstorm.
And then we had to dig out my car, and that took like 5 hours.
It was like 3.
And that's back when I was driving the Black Lung, which was a 95 Mercedes diesel.
Ooh.
I still own that car. I need to figure out what I'm doing with it.
Because now we have the Vanifest Destiny, which is...
Ah, yes, the Vanifest Destiny.
But of course.
Which...
Is a 97?
The Vanifest Destiny is a 99... Dodge Ram 1500 conversion van.
With a bed and a TV.
Wow.
Upgraded. But no heat.
Yeah, heat's overrated.
There's no heat in it, though.
It's cold body heat. Start cuddling. Let's go.
That funny thing is, like, part of the reason I bought that is because we're going on tour this summer. Big announcement. Not that everybody I know doesn't know that already.
Great. Stale news.
Exactly. We keep it fresh on your podcast.
Yeah, of course. Tour that no one's ever heard of except for right now. Please do tell.
I mean, it's like still in the works. Like, we haven't booked anything. It's just like we're starting to plan it out.
We're going on some form of tour over the summer.
Okay. Are you planning on like East Coast or?
It's going
to
be.
Down to South Carolina, hopefully up to Ohio, over to Massachusetts, then back down.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're making like a 7.
What are you talking about, a girl or the tour?
No, like the tour routing. Like if you're going, let's say if you're going from like New Jersey, South Carolina, obviously not in that order, up to Ohio and then over to Massachusetts, kind of makes a 7, like the number 7.
Oh, see, I refer to it as a triangle.
Yeah, it's about like an acute triangle? Yeah.
I get. Well, you know, that tour is pretty cute. Like, have you seen the people in New Jersey? Ha ha. Bad jokes.
So guys, thank you so much for being on. I would say it's a pleasure, but fuck all of you.
The funny part is, like, I kind of want him to end the podcast on that. Just like, okay, fuck you.
Fuck your EP. Fuck your Twitter, your Instagram, your Facebook. We're done.
Don't go to Our Moms Drove Us here on Facebook. Don't look them up.
Don't look us up on Twitter.
Don't buy tickets to see the Riff Raff show.
Definitely don't go to facebook.com/omda.
Don't go to the Twitter, because I run the Twitter, and 99% of it is harassing call out.
Oh.
It's not even harassing call out. It's you harassing Jake Feldman. The guitar player of call out. It's pretty hilarious, honestly.
I just go through all of his tweets and just reply to them saying dumb shit. It's funny.
That's what Twitter is made for.
He raids people. He'll harass people until like 4 in the morning on Twitter.
Because of time.
And everybody blames me because they think I run the social media.
Well, see, that's part of being the lead singer. Everyone thinks you do everything.
Well, that I am the most important, so.
Clearly not, if you don't get the most girls. And that's how you wing everything around, motherfuckers.
One of my favorite tweets recently from Omda Twitter is, "Attention everyone. Jake Feldman, guitarist of Call Out, is actually Sheen from Jimmy Neutron." The funny part is,
because he looks like Sheen from Jimmy Neutron.
Yes. He actually asked us to 1v1 him on Rust in like Modern Warfare 2. And then we lost, and then he got one free tweet on the Omda Twitter.
It was like, all hail the mighty, all hail the mighty.
It's like, we as Omda do not bow down to any man except for the great and mighty Jake Feldman, or something like that.
Damn, that's a pretty good bet.
Yeah.
I mean, not in your case, but, you know.
We should start out, I guess you could call it a bad case of Big Mouth.
I hate you, Lamb. Oh, fuck God. You, get out of my house.
So it's been an hour. Fuck you guys.
You guys, I'm going home.
Oh my God, you guys.
Drugs button cook.
Drugs button cook.
Want to get high? Don't forget to bring two.
Tell the goddamn it, I don't want to get high.
Well, Paul, are you about to put the guitar down? We're in the middle of an interview.
You know, you would be the second person to do an interview while playing the guitar.
Well, who was the first?
The guy's name is Marzi Montazeri. I think he's episode 40-something, 47, 48, or something like that. But he's played with, like, Phil Anselmo and the Illegals. And the entire time he would say something, and the next thing you know, he's like, yeah, so I thought of, like, this bluesy riff.
He might be my hero.
And me and Tanner are, like, looking at each other, like, do we stop this? Is this great? Is this weird? I don't know. Let's keep going. And we just let him keep going. And it was...
Bite a nickel for every time I heard, is this weird? Well, let's just keep going.
You'd have zero sense.
Well, that made zero sense, and I'd have no sense.
Hi-yo.
Hey-yo.
Hey-yo. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So what else is going on, guys? What else you'd like to talk about? Since I don't prepare questions anyway, I just fucking spitball.
That's true. That's fair. I know one of my talking points that I wanted to talk about was fucking Diner Food's new song.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't listened,
there's this band that's like coming onto the scene hot and fresh right now called Diner Food.
From New Jersey?
Yeah, New Jersey. We're friends with their bassist, Evan.
Okay.
And, like, they wrote a song called Phil Collins, and it's probably one of the most beautifully written things ever. Because it includes the line, what's the line, Paul?
Oh, I cut off my foreskin. Yes.
Yeah, that's probably one of, and it's, like, actually really good.
And then, yeah, they wrote, one line is, like, singing songs about dead kids and watching Yu-Gi-Oh. Yu-Gi-Oh. Yeah.
And, like, it's just, exactly. It sounds like the most absurd thing
I've ever heard.
It's amazing.
Well, I'm, like, they're people that you should have on the podcast. They're fun people.
Oh, and they're, like, called Diner Food?
Yeah, Evan, okay. The bassist from that band, he did a solo acoustic set at
the show on Saturday.
At the show on Saturday that we played.
Okay, who wasn't at the show on Saturday?
Well, like, honestly, it was a who's who in the Jersey scene. So if you weren't there, you're not like,
cool,
important.
Well, I never got an invite, so fuck you guys.
Exactly, that's what we're saying.
Yep.
Yeah. But he played an acoustic set, and he started, you know, the Johnny Cash version of Hurt by Nine Inch Nails?
I've hurt myself to dirty.
It's honestly,
it sounds like
one
he's
of my,
dying.
I mean, like, I love that song. But he started playing that, and, like, everybody was, like, freaking out, like, getting ready to be, like, sing along to it. And then he starts singing fucking All Star by Smash Mouth. And it was beautiful.
Yeah,
it was one of my favorite moments.
Who is that guy that started doing the...
John Sudano. He's actually from New Jersey.
He's from New Jersey. Interview him.
Oh,
he
my God.
He played in a hardcore band called Me Versus You. They're actually playing a reunion show at the beginning of next year.
Oh, my God. Are they really?
Yes.
I'm going.
We're going.
Oh, my God. That was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
He's still doing it. It's amazing.
He does it. He releases one, like, every other day.
He's been going for, like, a month and a half strong. He's made merchandise out of it. I don't need, like...
Dude's cashing in while he can. I appreciate that.
Yeah, this guy's fucking brilliant. I saw the Evanescence one, and I think it was Sean from the band Strive. He's like, you gotta see this. I'm like, this is weird. So I'm like watching, and I'm like, okay, this guy's gonna hit Evanescence, sure. And then next thing, somebody once told me that. I'm like, oh my God.
He's been incorporating the acoustic guitar recently, which I really appreciate.
The thing is that we covered All Star by Smash Mouth before he like did that. That song blew up through.
Were trendsetters.
You were hipsters.
We did that in like June, and then that when he started doing that in like October. So like we were ahead of the game in that.
Yep, and Chunk No Captain Chunk covered that song like 2 years ago. So all of you are late.
Yeah, we gave him the idea because we were hanging out in France with like fucking whatever his name is. We're like, hey, you know what you should do for like that '90s ghost punk album, All Star, and he was like, oh, parlez-vous français, and then like he did it. Fucking idea stealer.
Imagine if that was the actual story. That'd be hilarious.
That is the actual story. So you should laugh.
Fun fact: track 4 off of Abiocho, Easy Core Workout, is literally just a Chunk No Captain Chunk parody song. It's literally the same tuning that they use. It's an open B flat, and it's just like the dumbest song ever.
That entire song is supposed to be making fun of like pop punk and like Easy Core, and it really didn't work because people like it.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to make fun of a genre where you could do anything you want in it as long as you have like the same basic like 3 chords and people are still going to love it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, Paul disagrees with me, and he's the guitar player, so he might have a little bit more merit. But I maintain that a lot of our songs just sound like Sugar We're Going Down ripoffs.
There's a slight chord variation, but Liam's not far off. They're very.
Thank you for finally agreeing with me.
It's not the exact same chord progression, but it's very similar. I'll go with that.
That's actually my favorite. That's from our song High School Dropout. That's probably my favorite song we've written.
I'm not happy with how like the version on Aviocho turned out, but like the song itself is.
We're probably gonna re-record it again.
Yeah,
there you go. Just add another maybe 5 songs, make it a full length.
Ooh. Or maybe we'll just combine the 3 EPs that we're gonna put out within like a year time span.
Or you know what you really should do? Come out with, just have the 5 songs off of this album, and then add 3 more to have Ocho make sense in it, and have people really be confused.
Oh. Don't give us ideas like that because we will do ridiculous things.
Do it. Who gives a shit?
By the way, I had an idea for our April Fool's thing.
What? Well, don't say it.
I was about to say.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I mean, then again, not who's listening this far into the podcast? Like,
yeah, they definitely tuned it out after I said hello.
But anyway, so like if anybody's made it this far, my idea for April Fool's Day is I want to like hype up this EP that we're going to release, and we just record Party in the Desert in 5 different styles. So it'll be like a metalcore Party in the Desert, like a bluegrass Party in the Desert.
Yeah, I think Real Big Fish did something with that all in one song.
Fun story. At Warped Tour, I insisted that I had to see Real Big Fish play Take On Me. Because I got a $300 speeding ticket listening to that song
in the car.
And so like I felt like it was my right to see them play that song at Warped Tour.
Absolutely. Also another BTB alum.
You had Real Big Fish on?
Yeah, Tori actually interviewed her. Yeah, interviewed
Dude,
them.
Dude, what? That's fucking awesome.
Dude, do you not know who we had on the show?
You've also had My Chemical Romance on the show in some capacity, right?
Had Frankie Arrow on. Had Buddy from Census Fail, had Tyler and Andy from Danger Kids, who are good friends of mine. Had the guys of Finch on.
Have you heard the new project of Finch and Buddy from Census Fail?
Oh, Speak Now or Speak the Truth or
Speak the Truth, even if it shakes your voice or whatever the fuck it's called. I'm probably gonna see them play that show. They're doing a show in the beginning of January somewhere in LA.
Is that the Constellation or something like that?
Yeah, the Constellation Room in Pomona. Yeah. It's quite far, but I'm like, I need to see this. It's quite far. It's like a 45-minute drive, but like, I'll split an Uber with someone.
There you go.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, Census Fail was like one of those bands that, you know, got me into the scene. Like, I remember seeing them play local shows around here.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, so basically at one time you could see Census Fail, My Chemical Romance, Armor for Sleep, Midtown, Gaslight Anthem played a few shows up here. Like, all in the span of, like, 3 years. And then everyone's like, yeah, we're famous now. We're like, oh.
Oh, I actually met Gabe from Midtown / Cobra Starship. He was managing a band. I forget the name of the band because they honestly weren't that good. But they came to
what the fuck?
They came to USC for like we have like this lecture class called Popular Music Forum, and they like bring artists and like industry professionals in.
Oh,
and he was
cool.
Just standing in the back, and I talked to him about Midtown for about 15 minutes, and then he gave me his email, and I sent him Abiocho, and then I didn't get any response back.
Clearly.
Gabe Saporta.
So, Gabe Saporta, if you're listening to this, find our email, sign us, make us famous.
Please.
We deserve it. We work hard.
I'll do one better. On the Facebook post, I'll tag Gabe Saporta.
Be like, yo, my mom's drove us here talking hella shit about you. And then, like, point them to, like, the exact timestamp.
So this is an hour 15 into the interview, so after intro and everything else, it's probably like 118, 119.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah,
right.
Why not?
Maybe we'll get recognized. And since he's had famous people on the show, that means we're going to be famous, so.
I mean,
if we don't know like if a... that works that way.
No, it works that way. Shut up.
Okay. Well, you basically joined an illustrious club. Did I use that word correctly?
Illustrious?
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, you're also with the people I mentioned before. You also have Breaking Benjamin that was on the show. We actually had two incarnations of Breaking Benjamin.
Oh, shit.
We actually had Mr. Benjamin Burnley along with, like, a couple of his now bandmates. And we also had Chad Zaliga, their former drummer, who also did, like, The Diary of Jane. He was a drummer on that.
Oh, fuck.
And we might have something with Mr. Chad Zaliga coming up on the Behind the Barricade Network coming up soon.
Ooh, we're
still in
plugging
talks.
Some stuff.
We're still in talks.
Your own podcast that we're trying to plug on.
Well, technically, this is my own podcast where I could say anything I want.
No. This is a platform for us to plug our stuff.
Oh, you plugged already, and Gabe Saporta didn't like it, so I'm not gonna like it.
Plugging our plugs. I'll plug your plug.
is that how it goes?
That's how it goes.
All right, plug.
I'm Liam Eastman of our mom's drove us here. I run this shit.
There we go. All right, fine. Do your best. Do your best plug for Behind the Barricade. Go.
Behind the Barricade, we eat ass. Shit. No.
that's already been taken. I'm sorry.
All right. Let me try this again. Behind the Barricade, we want to get on your behind. There we go. Boom. I just branded you.
I will never use that brand.
No, you need to use that brand.
It's not happening.
I'm going to... What, you're based out of Butler?
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, so I did my Facebook research, too. I'll find you. I'll triangulate that shit.
Okay, we're right down the corner from Architect. Have fun.
All right, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, done.
Wait, how close do you live to Peter from Keep Flying?
From where?
Peter from Keep
how
Flying.
How would he know?
Because he lives in Butler. I don't know.
That doesn't mean he knows, like... That doesn't mean he knows the straight-edge king, Peter Waka Waka.
Okay, first off, I don't live in Butler. That's Dan. So we just do everything out of Dan's place. So I'm not even talking to you right now from Butler.
So...
Wait, where are you?
I'm in Kearney.
Oh, shit. What are you... Kearney?
Yeah.
Isn't that, like, forever away?
It's about 45 minutes. 45-minute drive
forever
to Butler.
Away.
That's forever away.
Yeah, but I've been doing that drive like once or twice a week now for the past year, so I'm used to it.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, R.I.P.
So.
Rest in peace.
Who died besides the show?
So, I find that interesting, though, that you've had on like so many big names, yet Jimmy's podcast is the most popular on iTunes, I believe.
Yeah, that was an odd one. I don't exactly know how it became popular. I mean, like, there was, like, we had, quite a number of downloads. I think it was up to, like, 60 within, like, the first day. And we're still waiting on, like, other outlets to get in because we never get those numbers.
Really?
And I was like, this is weird. Like, our most popular one that we have numbers for was, like, well into the thousands with Heffron Drive, who used to be a part of Big Time Rush, one of the main guys. And he was one of the most popular ones where we actually trended on Twitter thanks to them.
Really?
Yeah, that was odd. That was an odd feeling.
For a long time, Big Time Rush was one of my guilty pleasure shows.
Was it really?
I loved that show. That show was hilarious.
I've actually never seen it. I talked with Kendall, and he was a good dude. But
it's much like it's demographic is like preteen girls.
Yeah, so I've heard.
But I had a good time. I thought it was hilarious. And that's back when I was like 16 or 17.
Oh, it's right always on when I go to the orthodontist because I'm like an 18-year-old dude who has braces in his mouth because of fucked up teeth. And there's 12 and 13-year-olds who love Big Time Rush in that office. It's pretty weird.
Yeah, I mean, they were actually were the biggest boy bands in the country at one time.
Were they actually?
Yeah, because that was before One Direction.
Yep, that was awesome. Right before One Direction.
My favorite story that came out of the Nick music TV shows was the Naked Brothers Band.
Yeah.
Because literally everything the Naked Brothers Band did was satire.
Was it really?
That show is not serious at all. If you look into it, his parents are actually as famous as a satirist can be, were famous satirists. And so they started this show called the Naked Brothers Band. And it was basically to be making fun of the show, the reality shows that follow around adult musicians.
Oh wow.
So I always really liked that. Now Nate Wolff is acting in the John Green movies.
Jeez.
Good for him.
What's the other brother doing though?
Probably sitting with his dick in his mouth. His dick in his mouth. Yeah.
He's getting those residual checks. The royalties.
I mean honestly, the minute I can sell out, I'm gonna do it.
Who wouldn't? You'd be stupid not to.
Well, I mean, I know that's, the wrong thing for, someone who's a punk to be saying. But, I'm sorry. I want to have money.
Exactly.
I have a lifestyle I want to live. I want heat in my van.
See, look, it's either your fans are going to fund your lifestyle or you're going to sell out and live that lifestyle. So it's either or. You win either way.
I mean, I feel like there's, more of a safety net under selling out. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because then you could be set it off and have tons of fans and then sell out and then have even more fans.
Did they really sell out though?
Tell me, have you listened to any of Set It Off's discography?
I remember that one song where he's like, I can't sleep, I'm a narcoleptic, and he has that weird ass Aiden ripoff voice.
Okay, yeah, so that's off Cinematics.
Okay.
Which was super emo and awesome. It was going to be the next My Chemical Romance. Everybody was ready for it.
Uh-huh.
And then...
Then they turned into a pop band.
Then they turned into a pop band. And it was what the fuck set it off?
But it was kind of a natural progression, though.
They are playing 1,000 Cap Rooms. So
exactly. I'm not blaming them for it.
They had Patent Pending open up for them.
Rip Patent Pending.
Rip Patent
Pending. Yeah, their last tour. But yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was about to say, I wouldn't consider them being sellouts because they really didn't change up the sound. It's still that dramatical thing. Obviously it's not that little weird emo type of deal anymore. It's more it's more what Panic at the Disco is now. But I just can't, I don't agree with them selling out. I'm trying to think of a band that has really sold out. But
they have
Smash Mouth.
They have backing track for their guitars.
Well, that's because they got rid of that guy, right?
Yeah, they got rid of their bass player.
True.
Yeah, who was...
All right, there's a trend of bands getting rid of bass players.
There are trends of bands just not having bass players.
Chunk No Captain Chunk has no bass player, or didn't have a bass player when we saw them. Water Parks doesn't have a bass player. Who else didn't have a bass player?
Who's a band? September Morning. One of the bands that opened for Dayshell, when I saw them.
I forget who they were. They were a Christian. Spoken.
Spoken.
They're just playing backing tracks behind them, which is
Or they'll be playing with two guitars, and one of the guitars will be a baritone guitar.
Hmm. Didn't Neck Deep also get rid of their bass player?
No, they didn't. They got rid of a guitar player.
Oh.
Because of Tumblr, someone was he sent me a dick pic, and he was I'm not going to tarnish the reputation of my band. So I'm going to quit the band and let them do their thing.
Do you think he did that because he was oh, my band won't actually want me to leave?
That's what I think happened. And they're oh, we found a replacement. And he was shit.
It's yeah, you're going to bow out gracefully or we're going to say we fired you. Either or, go for it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what he's doing. And now that band is playing crazy size. They're in the UK, where they're from. They're playing 2,000 capacity rooms. And they weren't even a band 3 years, 3 or 4 years ago.
Hashtag bring Trash Boat to the United States.
Oh, Trash Boat's so good.
Trash Boat's really good.
Yeah, it's strange with UK bands. I love bringing this up on this show. You take a band like Enter Shikari, who basically headline Download Fest over there. They have their own stage at Download Fest.
They come here and they're playing nothing.
They play like Gramercy or Irving, and you're like, really?
It's like those bands from Japan, like that band, 1OK Rock. They're playing.
Yeah, the one that did like the one good My Chemical Romance cover.
They had like
BTP alums also.
Yeah, like they're playing 30,000 capacity rooms in Japan.
Yep.
All throughout Japan, like not even just in like Tokyo and stuff, but like, and then they come to the United States and they're supporting like Sleeping with Sirens in the 1,000 capacity rooms. It's like crazy.
Yeah, I think the only like recent Japanese band that actually crossed over was Baby Metal, and that's because they have a weird ass gimmick.
Well, I mean, if you can get a gimmick, ride that shit until it dies.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But like, if you look at a band like 1OK Rock, and then you like a band like Crossfaith, like all these Japanese bands that come over here are playing like fucking, you know, main stage at Ozfest over there, like right before Ozzy Osbourne, and you're like, oh, this is nice. And then they come over here and they can't get like a 500 capacity bar.
Well, it's also, like, you can just be, like, the worst pop punk band, and, like, if you're based out of England, you're going to get signed.
If you're based out of Germany and you're an English-speaking pop punk band, you will get signed to, like, Victory or Hopeless or something.
Really?
Same with Australian bands, too.
Because there's no market for it.
Yeah.
I mean, well, there's a market for it, but there's nobody there to fill the market.
Like, there's so few and far between good ones that if you're, like, even somewhat decent, you'll get signed to some American record label.
Yeah, Paul used to live in Switzerland, so.
Yeah, I lived in Switzerland for 3 years, so, like, I saw that firsthand.
So he knows, like, everything there is to know about Switzerland.
Yeah.
In the workings of European bands.
If you want to know about fondue and German metalcore, I'm probably your guy.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Shit.
All I don't right. know what to say to that, but okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any, like, bands that I could ask you about over there that, like...
There's, like, We Butter the Bread with Butter.
I remember Ooh. That dumb band.
That
Are
mean,
they still
like,
around?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
God.
Pretty sure they're still around.
Oh, no.
And then, like, Chunk was huge because they're French and that's, like, right next to Switzerland.
We're going
to
be doing a band field trip this summer to go see Rammstein play.
Oh, at Jones Beach.
Yeah.
I was thinking about getting tickets to that, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to wait till closer to the day and see what's up.
Apparently, they're almost already sold out.
Really? Oh, we should get on that one.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, the cheapest ticket was, like, $70.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Damn. And that's all the way up in the nosebleeds.
Still worth it for Rammstein.
Du hast mich.
Yeah, if you know only that song, I suggest you don't go.
I like living in America. America.
No, we're true Rammstein fans.
We know two songs.
Plot twist. Our mom's drove us here was started because of our love for Rammstein.
Fact.
Yo, true facts, B. Now let me dust off my Tims.
That's right, dog. That's right.
Did you hear?
Of course I heard that.
Did you hear
that.
The dog bark, or did you? Never mind.
Yeah, no, I heard dog. The dog bark.
Oh, okay. Sweet. We got so far. We've got a phone call in the middle of our interview.
We got the dog bark.
We got a dog bark.
We have GTA just on mute, just like going through the same screen for an hour and a half.
Now we just need a parent to yell at us.
And we'll be golden.
Then we'll be good.
There we go.
Then we fit, like, all the stereotypes of a pop punk band. Oh, wait, no, we need pizza.
Oh,
I had
weird
pizza
obsession.
For breakfast today.
Fuck, can we go get pizza after this?
No, my mom made dinner, unfortunately. And you have to go.
I want pizza, though.
Then go get pizza.
I'm not going to get pizza by myself.
William, be sad to get pizza by yourself.
I already was sad and ate Chinese food by myself.
That's sad.
I know!
Ladies, if you want to hit up Liam, add him on Facebook, and then he'll invite you to the band page 3 weeks later.
And then I'll take you to get Chinese food.
Or pizza. He's not too sure yet.
And then he'll write a song about you.
If you break up with me.
Which will certainly happen within a matter of, like, 9 days.
Well, see, no, what's funny is I was talking with one of my friends, about this. She was like, Liam, if I date you, wouldn't you write a song about me? And I was like, well, how long would you date me for? And she said, probably about 3 months. And then I did all the math because our first EP, there are 4 songs about my ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So that means there's a song for every 3 months of the year.
Gotcha.
So that means she'd get 1 song written about her if she dated me for 3 months and then broke up with me.
That's if you maintain that ratio.
This is true.
Yes.
This is true.
That means you have to find 3 other girls in order for her to have 1 song.
It's true.
Or you could go Robin Thicke and have your whole album be about your ex-wife, about Paula.
True. Well, that's our first EP.
It's those 4 songs and then Party in the Desert.
Nope. Party in the Desert references Nikki, too. It's Don't Forget About Me.
Oh, yeah. That was about all of us hanging out with that Liam and then
I got
him getting sad.
Oh, I thought it was a Simple Minds cover.
No.
No, it wasn't. Don't you
forget about me.
On our physical releases, we have covers.
Yeah.
But don't tell the, like, whatever.
We don't. Exclusive. We don't pay any mechanicals for anything. So, like, we don't actually pay legally to have the covers on there. That's why they're only on the physical releases.
How dare you?
Nobody can know.
I'm saying that as someone who's going into the music industry. I'm like, yeah.
Paul's just sitting there like, we shouldn't do this.
We shouldn't do this, but we are.
But we've got a banging cover of Creep and Love Yourself.
Together?
Yes, together.
Wow. Okay.
No, not actually. No, don't. Not
damn it.
We're not cool. No, don't.
Nah.
See, if it was together, if it was like a mashup, then we could get away with not.
Technically,
any royalties for it.
You could mash those 2 songs up.
I mean, we played them in the same key or relatively similar keys.
You could definitely do that.
We should have done that.
We should do that. We can figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
First, Home to Summer Tour 2K16 that hasn't been planned yet.
2K17.
2K. Wow. Wow. Go me. Go for Liam.
Go Liam.
Yep. Go fuck yourselves. We're done.
Oh, wow.
I see how it is.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh, for a second I thought he actually hung up, and I was like, oh, my God, my hero. Yes.
Well, any last plugs before I do hang up on you?
All right, we have an EP called Abiocha that we released in October, which you can find on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, and then... I'm not sure if you heard that, but Liam just farted.
Unfortunately, I did.
It's also up for pay what you want on Bandcamp if you're an asshole and wants to take it for free. We also have physical.
You're not an asshole if you take it for free. Just listen to our music, please.
Oh my God, that smells so fucking bad.
Good.
And then
it's the end of the podcast. If they got this far, then I'm sorry.
Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/omda, OMDUH. Twitter and Instagram are omda_NJ. Come see us. We're playing. Well, the day this podcast comes out, we're playing at the Sherman Theater in Stroudsburg, PA, opening up for Patent Pending and Keep Flying. We're playing January 1st at Boon Tunes in Booton, New Jersey.
Tons of our friends' bands.
With Devin Goods, My Rising Fall. And a bunch
in
of
the heart bands. Of Booton, New Jersey.
In the heart of Booton, New Jersey. And then January 26th, we're opening up for Riff Raff at the Stanhope House in Stanhope, New Jersey. That's a Thursday. Come by pre-sale from us. We need to sell 30 tickets. They're 25. What's 25 each?
25 each.
25 each. Also, Gene Pool's playing, and they're pretty lit. So, like, come out.
There we go.
True.
All right. And like always, we usually play out an episode with one of your songs. Should we go with Party in the Desert, since you mentioned that about like 50 times?
Do we want to go with the old Party in the Desert or the new Party in the Desert?
Let's go with the new one.
New Party in the Desert?
Okay. The new version of Party in the Desert.
Okay, and Liam, one more time for everyone listening, the Facebook URL on how to find you.